From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs. Peoria Police Chief Steve Settingsguard goes before City Council tonight requesting approval for a $405,000 expenditure for a gunfire alert system called ShotSpotter. It will likely be a very different conversation than that surrounded the chief 2 weeks ago. That featured an energetic standing room only chamber full of people who supported the chief. It came in response to accusations against Settingsguard's decision-making in a 3 to 5 year old personnel matter, questions about a tactical unit hotel stakeout related to a former council member, and a Freedom of Information Act request for the release of names of the people in the city's first Don't Shoot call-in meeting. An executive session 2 weeks ago may have answered some of the questions for certain council members. There is another closed-door session after tonight's regular council business. That's expected to feature a report back on the additional questions and conversations on the selection of a person who will take the remainder of deceased at-large Councilman Gary Sandberg's seat. But first, Chief Settingsguard's request for the ShotSpotter alert system will be voted on in open session. Chief Settingsguard sat down with reporters to talk about the gunfire alert system. Those in the press meeting also included WEEK HOI reporter videographer team Audrey Weiss and Doug Smith, and Peoria Journal-Star City Hall reporter Nick Vlahos. The question started with what the ShotSpotter program is and how it works.
It's I don't know if it's new, but relatively newer technology. It's designed to hear and identify gunfire and then notify the local law enforcement agencies of the location of the shot. And it will tell us how many shots were fired. It will even tell us if there are more than one weapon, more than one type of weapon being fired at the same time. If there's an exchange between two different guns, it will identify that as well.
How is it going to benefit your department?
Right now, what we have is if shots are fired in an area, we typically get phone calls. We hope we do. Sometimes you don't. Matter of fact, I think ShotSpotter advertises that nationally about 70% of the shots fired don't get reported. And then you get multiple reports of shots fired, and what usually happens is people hear gunfire, but they don't know exactly where it came from. And officers are dispatched, and then the search starts. And that's really inefficient. We end up walking through yards, walking up and down sidewalks, streets. We're looking for evidence. We're trying to pinpoint where there may have been a shot. And many times, officers will secure. They can't find anything. No one saw the gunfire. No one knows who fired the gun. And they do a reasonable amount of searching, and then they end up going back in service. And I can tell you, even when I was a police officer, you go back in service, and you always have that thought nagging in the back of your mind that I sure hope a body doesn't show up tomorrow morning. Because you looked where you thought you could look, and there's only so much time you can spend on it because you get so many calls that don't pan out into anything. One of the things that we're really excited about with ShotSpotter is it will pinpoint the location relatively closely to where the shot was and if it was a real shot, and then help us locate where to find evidence and in some cases maybe even find a victim. I know there have been cases where this technology has saved lives, that a gunshot victim was located that maybe otherwise wouldn't have been, or at least not located quickly enough to get them help.
How did you guys get turned on to this, Steve?
It came up a year or two ago. We first learned of it. We started talking about it. We ended up last summer, we made a trip, the mayor and I and the city manager and a couple others. We made a drive up to Milwaukee and looked at what they were doing there. Our dispatch director, Dave Tuttle, went to Minneapolis. He was there for some training or a conference. So while they were there, they looked at how Minneapolis was using ShotSpotter. And it looked like a really cool technology. When we were in Milwaukee, kind of an interesting thing happened. We were standing in a dispatch center talking to the director of their dispatch center. And at that moment, we were talking about ShotSpotter. And at that moment, a ShotSpotter sent an alert of gunfire. And it showed on the dispatcher screen, it showed the map and showed the dot on the map where the gunfire was supposed to have occurred. Later on that day, we met at one of their district stations with a group of officers who were kind of like our target offender or a street crimes unit, And just coincidentally, two of the officers that were there happened to be the ones that were sent earlier in the day to the shot that we saw reported. And then we had an opportunity to have a conversation with them. And when we asked them, did you find any evidence of a shooting there? They said they found shell casings there. And we asked them how far from where the dot was on the map, and they said it was exactly on the dot. In a case like that, it can save a considerable amount of time.
How does it conflict the Don't Shoot program?
Well, Don't Shoot is all about reducing gun violence and, you know, getting people to stop pulling triggers. And any, you know, technology tool we can use to identify where the triggers are being pulled and that they are being pulled, helping us identify suspects more quickly, get to the properties where gunfire is more frequent, the streets where it's more frequent. That's going to help us focus our efforts.
Steve, I saw on the map where it looks like it's going to go in. It looks like it's going to start on the west bluff and kind of go down the hill and then sweep down to the southwest. How was that determined?
Well, it was we found that I think 44% of our shots fired calls are coming from the south side of Peoria. If you go basically from MacArthur all the way to the south end of the city, that's what you get. When ShotSpotter came in and took a look at this for us, we showed them our breakdown, and South End was the most productive as far as shots being fired. And we looked at it, they try and run their program in 3-mile increments, and that's where they get apparently the advantage of numbers, and technology gets a little cheaper when they do at least 3 square miles at a time. Our south end that we would target is about 2.5 square miles. That gave us an extra half mile to push the boundary a little bit, so we wanted to go up the hill and pick up that area off of Main Street and University as well. The next three square mile area that we probably would look at is the east and west bluff. And there's an area there that another 3-mile area will be well served for us.
Do they put like sensors on poles or something? Is this done with GPS? I mean, how does it work?
They're audible sensors. Depending on the topography and the amount of foliage and the layout of the land, they'll put anywhere from, I guess, 12 to 24 sensors per square mile. They're about the size of a small flashlight, and they're typically mounted on the rooftops of businesses, and it might be a church, it might be a gas station, and all they need is a power connection. All they need is to be connected to a power source. They use a few bucks a year worth of electricity, and in my understanding is the antennas talk to each other. That's how they communicate back. They're not hardwired in. The communication runs from antenna to antenna back to the source. If we average 16 per square mile, that would be about normal. And we will, part of our responsibility is to go out with ShotSpotter once they're ready to go out and lay out the area that we're going to focus on. And we'll make visits and knock on doors of area businesses and try and solicit folks that would be willing to participate and allow a sensor on their roof.
It's a voluntary thing.
It is voluntary. The company will do the work. They'll connect it to the power. But let's say you're running a gas station, you'd have to agree to allow them up there to put a sensor up, and then you'd have to agree to pay for the few dollars a year that you're going to pay for the electricity for it. On the upside, I think everybody who participates is going to be helping to make the South Side stronger and make the neighborhood stronger. And that, in addition to Don't Shoot, the safer that we get, the less gunfire is better for everybody.
We're not necessarily going to know where all these sensors are.
I'm hoping that you won't know where any of them are. We really don't want that out, obviously, because we have an interest in them not being vandalized or destroyed or stolen.
Chief, I'm afraid of my privacy. You're going to be eavesdropping on me when I'm walking around in this block area. Is that the case or not the case?
It's not the case, although the sensors do listen and record, sounds. We don't have access to the audio. The police department doesn't have access. The city doesn't have access. The ShotSpotter records the audio and sends us the recordings of gunfire if we request them. And we're allowed to access were able to access the gunfire. My understanding is if you were really close to a sensor, it could pick up human conversation. It's not something that would be presented to the city or forwarded to us, but I know the issue's been raised in other cities, and I think it's been overcome. That it's not a real concern. Again, that the sensors are going to be relatively high and designed to pick up gunshots. You know, we have pretty strict eavesdropping laws in Illinois. So if it ever got to the point that we thought there might be some actual conversation taking place that we wanted, we would definitely go for a search warrant if we had to.
Chief, so many times actual boots on the ground are so much better. More patrols, more saturation patrols. I mean, would the money be better spent on more officers or use the technology?
You know, you got to find a balance between officers and technology. You know, officers are expensive. The technology is going to cost us just a little bit more than one police officer. But for the 216 officers we have here, it makes them more efficient. And I think actually in this case the efficiency gained is going to be better than adding one police officer position to the department. One thing that I think will be a big advantage for us. I was out not that long ago riding along with an officer, and there was a shooting call. It was off of Knoxville, in Nebraska. And a fellow walked up on a porch, and he was asking for help. He had been shot and really couldn't give us a very good location of where it was. And he thought it was about halfway between the gas station on the corner and where he walked up on the porch, but he wasn't sure. He thought it was by an alley, but he wasn't sure. And we probably had, I'm going to say, 8 to 10 police officers searching both sides of the street in the grass, in the dark, you know, looking for spots of blood, looking for shell casings, and there really was no better way to try and pinpoint where the shot took place. And we never did find any evidence of the shot fired. With ShotSpotter, had that shot occurred at that time and had it been where he said it was, it would help us pinpoint the exact place, the exact time. And sometimes ShotSpotter is useful in refuting false claims. False claims of shots being fired or shooting victims who lie about how they were shot and lie about circumstances and lie about location, which is all too common for us, and it may help us actually get to the truth.
Do you think and are you hopeful that the council will support this?
I am hopeful, and I think they will. This council agenda item was prepared just a short time ago. We've been talking about ShotSpotter in Peoria for a while. I know we looked at it last summer, and the problem hasn't been that we weren't sure we wanted it. It's just been finding the funding. You know, in this economic age, you know, $100-some thousand per year is a lot of money. But I think it's a reasonable expense given the value of it.
Explain the breakdown of the $500,000 roughly that these two agenda items account for in ShotSpotter.
$405,000 is the 3-year price for the package. I believe it's $135 per year. The easiest way to understand it, it's $45,000 per square mile per year. It's a subscription service, which means the city doesn't own the equipment and the city doesn't maintain the equipment. For the $45,000 per year per mile, ShotSpotter maintains it, keeps it up to date, keeps it functioning, provides all the feedback to the PSAP, all of the ShotSpotter data. Provides an expert in court if necessary, detailed forensic analysis when it's needed, and we pay for the service. It's the 3-square-mile area is $135,000 per year times 3 years brings you to $405,000.
As I understand it, the information that they glean goes to ShotSpotter first, and then it comes to you guys. Is that how that's supposed to work?
That's correct. The sensors will send data to the ShotSpotter. I'll call it a command post for lack of a better phrase. Their technicians will analyze it and determine whether or not it's actual gunfire, and then what the particulars are. If it is gunfire, then they forward that on to the local agency, which would be us and our dispatch center. our officers will then have access to that location, time, number of shots, and also, again, get the dot on the map so that they can see pretty closely to where the actual shot is discharged.
This is approved tomorrow night. When will it be implemented?
According to the rep for the company, they're in a hurry to get in. They want to get in before cold weather, and I think it's probably going to be an advantage to get in and get the pre-work done while there's still foliage on the trees and the testing, because once the leaves are down, you get a different picture. It's a little easier to send communication through the air when there's no foliage on the leaves, so I think it's going to move relatively quickly.
Did the people in Milwaukee or Minneapolis give you any idea how much time this might have saved or how much money it might have saved or anything like that?
I don't have that. I know that they found it to be a time saver, and I can tell you it's going to save a lot of time. There's kind of a balance there, too. We're going to get more shots fired reports. If 50% or 60% or 70% of the actual gunfire is not reported, and with ShotSpotter, it's going to be in the 90-something percentile, that means we're going to be going to more shots fired calls. But the ones that we go to will be legit, and we should be going to. We want to investigate those. So in one sense, it's going to increase the workload by the number of calls, but per shooting event, per shots fired event, it should make us more efficient to handle those.
It'll weed out somebody shooting off an M80 or a car backfiring or something.
Exactly. Or false calls altogether, you know, and sometimes you get those. Sometimes you get somebody just reporting they hear gunshots and it's not true. Or the call that we get once in a while where someone claims they hear gunfire because they think that brings the police quicker to whatever it is that is going on.
Why is now a good time to make this expenditure?
Well, we are hoping to, we need to get it in before I think the foliage is down, and we'd love to have it by spring. The city manager contacted me and was able to, he came up with some ways to fund it. And I don't know what brought him to that we were able to find it now, but he was able to.
It's not going to detect unsuppressed gunfire. What does that mean?
Suppressor is a silencer. If a gunshot was successfully suppressed and it wasn't loud enough to be picked up, then it won't pick it up. And it depends on how far the gunshot is from the actual sensor. If the closer you get, the softer noises it would pick up. If it was successfully suppressed, then they don't guarantee they can pick it up. We see very little of that, though. You see very little of actual silencers on weapons in the field.
It's also not going to pick up gunshots like in a home or a business or something like that. Are most of Peoria's gunshots on the streets?
I think most are, yes. Yeah, if it's in a closed up house, it's not going to pick it up. Just the report from the gun is not going to reach the outside to the, you know, decibel level that the sensor will get it. But, you know, shots on porches, shots in backyards, shots...
Alleys,
streets, and it's going to pick up all of that. And most of our gunfire, particularly the gang-related stuff, is happening outdoors.
Any idea how many shots fired calls you went on last year?
In the past 20 months, a little over 20 months, we had 1,600 dispatches for shots fired in the city. Of those, 384 were determined that were incidents where we found evidence. Either a bullet strike, a shell casing on the ground, someone struck, obviously, or a witness that actually saw the gun discharge. And the remainder of those were shots fired where there's either no witness, it's anonymous, or someone heard gunfire, but we could find no evidence of it.
Anything else we're not asking about here, or anything else we should be?
There was an incident, and the vendor is going to be here, and we'll be at council to answer any questions. But there was a case that they demonstrated. When I was at a chief's conference last year, the ShotSpotter folks showed me the video and audio of a case where a police officer got involved in a shooting, shot a young man, and I don't remember if he was a juvenile or not, but he was a young man, and the officer said that the suspect was armed when he shot him and that the suspect had fired at him first. crowd gathered around. The officer gets the suspect into custody, and the gun's missing. And the officer believes that someone picked the gun up, that somebody in this crowd had seen the gun and picked it up, and it got to be hostile, and, you know, it started to bubble out that he'd shot, and I think it was a juvenile, they had shot someone that wasn't armed, and, you know, there was real potential for problems in the community. And ShotSpotter was able to do a forensic exam and very quickly dispel that notion that he wasn't armed. And ShotSpotter technology was able to demonstrate that there were two different weapons fired and that the officer's weapon was the second one fired. And that's another advantage. I think that's a much more rare instance, sure, than what we'd normally see. But just one of those would pay for a lot of ShotSpotter technology when it comes to the unrest that can come from that, and actually verify the officer's account in that case was very valuable.
There's going to be a report back. Are you nervous about anything or expecting more fireworks?
Yeah, what's going to happen?
Will it pick up? Will this pick up that kind of firework? They could put a sensor on my head.
We decided if you guys are going to be meeting at midnight, we're going to order pizza and send the bill to the city. Is that okay?
Yeah, that would be okay.
Chief, on a serious question, bringing up fireworks though. 4th of July, you guys had the incident in Taft, where a couple years ago, where there were things going off and powerful gunshots. Is that going to deter? How's it going to work then on 4th of July? I mean, you guys aren't going to be chasing after every false firework, are you?
Yeah, it should distinguish. I don't know, and what would be a good question that I'll ask the rep when I see him. The problem we had in the Taft 2 years ago was commercial grade fireworks, you know, big time booms, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it will tell the difference even between that and gunfire, but that will help us on a day like the 4th, and even the 3rd of July is a problem day too. We do get a lot of shots fired calls that are just fireworks, and it may help us drill down and actually avoid having to go to some of those calls that aren't really shots fired. Another kind of cool advantage of the technology, it will also tell you, you know, sometimes you get running gun battles or you get a shooter shooting out of a car is moving. The technology and the dispatcher will also be able to tell the officer in a case like that that the shooter is moving northbound at 25 miles an hour. And that tells you that they're in a car, or the shooter's moving northbound at 4 miles an hour, and it tells you that they're probably on foot or a bicycle.
So what do you think, what's going to happen?
As far as me?
Yeah.
I don't know that there's anything really. I think there's a report back from the manager about some of the questions that were lingering from the last meeting about questions that were raised that night. I don't know that there's anything big on the agenda. I don't think I'm on the agenda.
Could a certain council member bring you up?
What's that?
Could a certain council member still bring you up?
Yeah, I imagine so. I mean, last time I knew it was going to be a big event. I don't know that about this one.
Can you elaborate on what the operational issues are?
Some of the issues were about the Irving investigation, as you were aware. There were questions that were raised that required some research to get answers for, and I think the answers will be satisfactory to whoever it is that needed a question answered. I can't give you the specifics of it, though, Nick. But I think it'll be quieter than the last one.
In the intervening 2 weeks, has it been quieter for you?
Yes.
Have you been able to concentrate a little more on the business of the police department than, say, maybe the preceding 4 weeks?
I've been able to get back to doing police work this last 2 weeks. Police work's the fun stuff.
Were you gratified by what you saw at the council meeting you had last time?
You know, it was kind of overwhelming for me. You know, I knew that some people were planning to come out to show support. I never expected to see what I saw. And I've kind of joked since that it was kind of like being at your own funeral. To sit at the table and have all those people say good things about you, it struck me that it was like hearing a eulogy or something. But no, it was overwhelming, and it was encouraging to see there's support out there, and people that still believe in me and believe in what I'm doing. I think it was good for the elected officials that have publicly spoken in support of me. I think it was good for them, too.
Do you expect more challenges from certain members of the council?
You know, I just keep doing my job as best I know how, as I always have, and the rest of it is not within my control.
Thank you for taking the time.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Thanks also to WEEK HOI reporter videographer team Audrey Weiss and Doug Smith and Peoria Journal Star City Hall reporter Nick Vlahos for allowing us to use the press interview. I'm Tanya Kuntz. This is Outside the Horseshoe on 89.9 WCBU Peoria Public Radio.